ETL Echo presents Insufferable Insatiability by Heyjude 19. Being a Malfoy meant being a patron of the arts. It meant maintaining 17th century tapestries, acquiring rare vases, displaying antique furniture with impeccable upholstery, and of course, keeping a robust collection of paintings and portraiture. From pastoral landscapes to notable ancestors to domestic scenes, the walls of Malfoy Manor sported many enviable gilded framed pieces. It meant not only having a professional magic portrait commissioned, but a formal gathering to unveil said portrait. Hermione thanked multiple deities that her mother-in-law was abroad, and therefore not present to witness the moment Draco pulled back the curtains on their debut marital portrait. Theo would never let them live this down. Because instead of a newly wedded couple posing in their finest formal robes, Hermione's jaw dropped at the sight of herself topless, legs splayed wide open on a velvet green sofa, with Draco's head in between. Distantly, she heard gasps,
and even a dropped glass or two.
But Hermione couldn't tear her eyes away from a moving portrait of herself receiving oral sex from her husband, while she played with her own breasts and moaned. Portrait Hermione had her eyes screwed shut as she sank further into the rich green fabric. Portrait Draco singularly focused on his task of making her come all over the antique furniture. A shocked snort, Pansy, and loud laugh, Theo, finally got the painted couple's attention.
"Oh, love," her portrait self tapped Draco on the head. "We have an audience."
Portrait Draco only half turned his head to smirk and mutter, "Lucky them," before diving back into his previous task. Hermione whirled away in embarrassment as murmurings of, "Nope," and "Oh my fucking god," from Ron and Harry respectively, sounded out, followed by pops of apparition. Draco finally had enough wherewithal to throw out a silencing charm and re-curtain the frame, while Theo laughed himself silly. Of their assembled friends, only he and Ginny remained behind. Draco shared a mortified look with Hermione before sending a stinging jinx at Theo.
"Stop laughing. And you could have averted your eyes like the rest.
Relax, this does absolutely nothing for me."
"Speak for yourself," muttered Ginny, fanning herself.
"Gods, Hermione, your tits are amazing. Even pre-kids' mind went that perky."
Hermione found her voice again.
I don't understand."
"What is it you don't get? It's, you know, you two." Ginny gestured between her and Draco.
"Yes, but, well, I'd hardly call us exhibitionists in real life," said Hermione.
"When did you have this done?" asked Theo.
"Mid-honeymoon. It only took a few hours, on our end, of posing."
"Oh, sweet Merlin, you idiots," Theo said with an exasperated chuckle.
"Why do you think people wait until they're older to have their portraits done? The painter did a little bit of legitimacy, right? To capture your personalities and some memories?"
"Yes, but..."
"And as you two lovesick fools were in the middle of your bloody honeymoon, what was generally at the forefront of your minds?"
Hermione exchanged a guilty look with Draco.
"It shouldn't matter," insisted Hermione. "How could a version of me think that was appropriate? Why would our outlook on our honeymoon matter at all?"
"Darling," Draco drawled, "do you recall our state during those 2 weeks?"
Naked. Sweating, gasping, tangled in bed, in each other. And now, because she had severely underestimated her attraction to her own husband, she had been subjected to one of the most embarrassing moments of her life. Draco, for his part, attempted to soothe her by complimenting the accuracy of their doubles, but Hermione brushed off his placations and went to bed fuming. Hermione had foolishly hoped that after the embarrassing display in front of their friends, the portraits might have calmed down. She was proven summarily wrong the following morning, when they removed the curtain, only to find nothing but an empty green velvet couch.
"Did we?"
Hermione took a breath in through her nostrils and exhaled slowly.
"We gave them the power to move about, didn't we?"
"We did," sighed Draco.
It didn't take long to track them down. In a second-floor corridor, Hermione heard suspicious sounds floating down the hall. As she moved closer,
Her own voice and that of her husband's rang out loud and clear.
I know you're close.
It feels so good.
Come on, love. You first.
Hermione steeled herself and marched up to a depiction of a cozy camping scene. Or it would have been described as cozy, were it not for the couple participating in a mutual masturbation session on separate cots. She ignored the tingling thrill at the sight, shoving it aside to draw on her well of anger from the previous ruined evening.
Excuse me, I'd like a word.
Her portrait had the decency to stop fingering herself and pay attention, while portrait Draco merely slowed down his strokes.
My husband and I would appreciate it if you two could please be more discreet, or if you'd like to be more mature about this, stop this nonsense altogether. And further, are you getting off on this?
Portrait Draco shrugged.
Sorry, love. You know I like it when you get worked up at me. I love when you're cross.
Hermione sputtered in indignation as her portrait self decided this would be the perfect time to straddle her husband. Hermione goggled at the shameless pair before irritably silencing the painting and conjuring a curtain over it. For good measure, she curtained the rest of the frames as she stalked back down the hall, hoping they'd get the message. The portrait versions of Draco and Hermione were just as stubborn as their real-life counterparts, and did not much appreciate being hidden away.
"Don't know why you both are making such a fuss. You should be proud of," argued a bare-chested portrait Draco from a painting in the third-floor conservatory. She'd just caught them in a kitchen rendering, licking baking ingredients off each other.
Hermione lazily flicked her wand in what had become a reflex for whenever she happened upon their doppelgangers. An endlessly lustful likeness, and now that likeness ruled the halls of Malfoy Manor. Insufferable insatiability, forever recorded in colorful oil paint. They were constantly fucking, loudly proclaiming pleasure from every frame they could travel into, and making use of the surroundings provided by the many hung paintings.
"Have you tried blindfolding them?"
suggested Draco after yet another of Hermione's rants. He no longer bothered scolding the portraits, while Hermione jumped at every noise, wondering if she was about to witness yet another ridiculous scenario.
"I think you can guess how that excited them. Could we just take more frames down?"
"Most of them have permanent sticking charms. We've covered and silenced nearly every single portrait in the house," grumbled Draco.
"I think they can be reasoned with," Hermione insisted.
Her portrait, she thought, would at least be open to common sense.
"Hello?"
Hermione called, tentatively.
"Hello," her portrait cheerfully replied. "Have you decided it's all right, then?"
"What's all right?"
"This.
Us," said her portrait.
"We're only having fun, you know. You should be proud to have our relationship represented so faithfully."
"My relationship with my husband is no one's business but our own," said Hermione through gritted teeth, "and we'd appreciate it staying that way. We don't enjoy being forced to watch such lewd behavior all the time."
"Is that so?" countered the portrait with a smirk. It was a smile Hermione liked to deploy when she knew something someone did not, when she had the informational upper hand. A disturbed anxiety shot through her. What was this painting implying?
Before she could interrogate further, portrait Draco sauntered into frame wearing a ruffled white shirt open at the collar, tight black pants, a cape, and a surprising prop. He smiled widely to reveal fake fangs.
"Is this how you imagined it, love?"
He gestured around the scenery. Hermione realized with dawning horror what she was about to witness. A tower room in a dark castle overlooking open ocean. A silly little fantasy about a vampiric Draco holding her hostage in some remote abandoned abbey where he'd seduce and turn her. A fantasy she'd told no one about. Hermione fumed at her likeness.
"You had no right to tell." "And why not?" argued portrait Hermione. "This is my fantasy, too. I'm you."
She swallowed a furious retort as the scene moved along. Hermione watched as Draco sat behind her on a chaise, sweeping aside her long braid and mouthing at her neck. She watched longer than was appropriate. His fingers moved up to the ties at the front of the nightgown, undoing them slowly. His hands caressed her breasts just the way Hermione knew Draco would.
"It's all right to watch, darling," he murmured. "I know how to touch you, don't I?"
She'd moved closer to the painting than she realized, finding herself only inches away. She saw the flushes of pleasure in a brilliant rose hue dusting her portrait's cheeks, vibrant and lifelike. Moonlight filtered in through the tower window, glinting off Draco's equally pearlescent hair. The artist had rendered them so faithfully, the cool gray in his gaze just as chilling when he stared in real life. Portrait Draco sank his false teeth into the neck, causing her portrait to cry out. Hermione blinked and came to her senses.
Unbelievable, she grumbled and strode briskly away.
Hermione came to bed incensed, pacing before Draco.
Do you know what those two are up to right now?
I'm sure you're about to tell me.
She's dressed like some doe-eyed waif, waiting to be seduced by her vampire lover while they have ritualistic blood-soaked sex. My private thought, mind you. I didn't realize the memory and thought collection process for portraits would be this invasive.
Wait, what were you saying about a vampire sex fantasy?
Ugh, it's ridiculous. Blatant regard for my personal wishes.
If we could circle back to the blood sex?
This has moved beyond the embarrassment phase.
How did you say you were dressed?
Honestly, it's a bit violating, Hermione huffed and flopped onto the bed. I will get them to behave. I will.
Draco sighed and turned out the lights.
Course you will, love.
All it took was a few brushstrokes, and apparently Hermione could be turned into a sex-crazed caricature of herself, with an all-too-eager husband. The portraits had no issue with mining their personal fantasies for their pornographic pantomimes. Hermione saw herself laid out on a bearskin rug in front of a fire. A Draco dream scenario, apparently. On the workbench, in a potions lab with her legs over his shoulders. One of hers. Portrait Draco pinning her to a library shelf, what looked like a first edition tome of Hogwarts A History clutched in her hands. From Draco's fantasy rotation. In a field of lavender dressed in Regency period garb. Hermione again. And on it went, as Hermione tried to settle into newly married life with her husband, while balancing a promotion in the Department of International Cooperation. A promotion she'd worked so hard for, despite unkind office whispers about her post-war notoriety or her prestigious married surname snagging her the position. Desperate to prove herself worthy of a directorship, she logged obscene hours at the ministry. Each morning she left before Draco had even stirred. Sometimes, depending on the potion he was brewing in his lab, she might even go to bed alone. Run ragged at the ministry, she'd been coming home well past dinner, shoveling in food, and then collapsing into bed only to rise early to start it all over again. Two exhausted, overworked ships passing in the night. Quite the comedown from the voraciousness paired with the idleness of their honeymoon. It had felt like the early days of dating again, when they couldn't undress fast enough. When it became almost competitive in nature to see how many times they could get each other off. Lately, she'd never felt less sexually appealing in her whole life. Wrinkled work robes, tired eyes, and barely contained hair. When was the last time she'd initiated sex with Draco? And every time she turned a corner in her own home, she'd be confronted with the writhing, usually nude, reminder of everything she could be giving her new husband. The weekend. Hermione told herself. If she could make it to the weekend, she'd set aside some quiet time for just the two of them. Recapture some of the passion they'd experienced on their trip. A previously agreed-upon dinner with her parents disrupted Hermione's plans for some unhurried seduction. Instead, she fretted the entire day about showing her muggle parents her new home and praying the portraits stayed away. They'd been unusually well-behaved, or at least inconspicuous, for most of the visit. Hermione should have known it would be too good to last. As they escorted the Grangers back to the dining room, Hermione heard the unmistakable noise of skin sliding against skin at a rapid pace. Somewhere on the current floor, Hermione knew she was being fucked from behind.
"Do you hear something?"
"You don't keep animals in the house, do you?" asked her mother, and Hermione began mentally planning her own funeral.
"Yes, I think one of the elves might be, tending to one of the estate's peacocks," said Draco, and rushed off.
Ushering her parents into the thankfully family-friendly dining room, Hermione made some excuse and went off to assist Draco, or perhaps give in to the urge to conjure fiendfire. Rounding a corner, she almost slammed into her husband. "All good," he said.
"Thank Merlin," she sighed, then noticed Draco's flustered state. "Are you... Oh my God, are you hard right now?"
"Love, you don't understand," he said, adjusting himself. "I've got you dressed as a milkmaid, bent over a bale of hay."
"Well, never mind that. Will they quiet down?"
"I talked them down, yes. They'll stay away."
Draco looked shifty, but Hermione didn't have time to question any further. Nor could she banish the image her husband had described for the remainder of the evening. Bloody portraits. Hermione planned preemptive measures with their invited dinner guest the following weekend. However, no matter where she looked in the manor, she found neither hide nor hair of the troublesome Randy duo. What were they up to? Finally tired of causing a scene? Narcissa would be joining them tonight. While Hermione could say her relationship with her new mother-in-law was defined by a begrudging respect on both sides and approaching friendliness on occasion, a pornographic portrait snafu would probably set them back a bit. Hermione held on to that shred of hope that the portraits somehow matured or developed a sense of decorum. They made it almost through the second course when a deep, measured voice sounded out.
"She's beautiful, and therefore to be wooed. She is woman, and therefore to be won."
That line was from Henry VI, but it sounded through the halls in Draco's voice.
"No."
Hermione fed Narcissa a lie about leaving the wireless on. With a panicked look at Draco, she excused herself from the table.
"My bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite."
Romeo and Juliet this time. That evil, conniving git.
"I love you with so much of my heart that none is left to protest."
Much ado about nothing. This was a declaration of war. Hermione entered Draco's study to the sounds of the tempest.
"Hear my soul speak. Of the very instant that I saw you, did my heart fly at your service."
But the sight was an entirely different matter. A picturesque setting of a forest clearing, sunlight streaming through a canopy of trees, flowers gathered at the edge of the wood, and portrait Hermione on her knees, sucking portrait Draco off while he flipped through a collection of Shakespeare quotes. He had the audacity to smirk as she silenced the room and stomped up to the frame.
"What do you think you're doing?"
Instead of answering, he flicked to another page and recited,
"No sooner met, but they looked. No sooner looked, but they loved. No sooner loved, but they sighed. No sooner sighed, but they asked one another the reason. No sooner knew the reason, but they sought the remedy. And in these degrees have they made a pair of stairs to marriage." Fuck, love, that's so good.
He broke off as Hermione watched her portrait's head bob up and down faster.
"Touch yourself for me, darling. I know you're wet."
"Your mother is here," hissed Hermione.
Her portrait pulled off his cock and looked somewhat abashed.
"Fine."
Portrait Draco snapped the book shut and helped Hermione to her feet.
"I was only helping you get in the mood. It's spring, after all, the season for finding love."
"It's about to be the season for setting fire to portraits if you two don't knock it off."
"I don't think..."
"You're right," interrupted her portrait. "We've been a bit rude. Come on, darling."
She tugged portrait Draco to the edge of the painting.
"We'll go a few floors up. You won't hear us for the rest of the evening."
"Thank you," said a grateful Hermione, and rejoined her mother-in-law. But she'd be lying if she said the bard's words in Draco's delectable tone didn't echo around her head for the rest of the night. Hermione sunk into the perfectly heated bath with a relaxed groan. Her last few days at work had been, quite frankly, awful. A belligerent diplomat, a refusal to use translation spells, one incompetent aide later, and she qualified this week as disastrous. She tipped her head back against the rim. Just as the steam and scented bubbles lulled her into drowsiness, a voice spoke up.
"You've been silencing our bedchamber," said her portrait husband.
Hermione shot up fast and covered her chest. She glared at the framed daffodils above the tub. Portrait Draco stood alone, leering down at her.
"I've been silencing the bedchamber that I share with my husband," retorted Hermione.
"Things going well in that regard?"
"That's none of your business."
Perhaps I should have a chat with myself.
You will do no such thing.
I probably have all sorts of grand ideas, but I think the simpler the better with you, dear wife.
What do you mean?
I mean, I think we've been going about this all wrong.
He pulled a book from behind his back, his grin widening.
I happen to know you enjoy me reading aloud.
And what of it?
Word travels through the house. You've had a rough go of it at work, and I thought I'd do something relaxing for you. Read to you a bit from one of your favorites.
She couldn't help trying to peek at the book in his hand. Curiosity piqued.
Which have you selected?
Have a guess. It's a favorite of yours.
Is it the Count of Monte Cristo?
Not quite, but so close, darling.
He shifted his grip so she could see the spine clearly. Her mouth went dry. Portrait Draco licked his finger and turned to the first page.
Le Comte de Monte Cristo, he murmured, par Alexandre Dumas. Chapitre 1. Marseille. L'arrivée.
No, too far. She wouldn't be able to withstand this.
Le 24 février 1815, la vigie de Notre-Dame de la Garde signala le trois mâts le pharaon, venant de Smyrne, Trieste et Naples. Comme d'habitude, un pilote côtier partit aussitôt du port, rasa le château d'If et alla aborder le navire entre le cas de Morgian et l'île de Rion.
He stopped there, and Hermione almost whined in protest.
Would you like me to continue?
Please.
Aussitôt, comme d'habitude encore, la plateforme du fort Saint-Jean s'était couverte de curieux, car c'est toujours une grande affaire à Marseille que l'arrivée d'un bâtiment, surtout quand ce bâtiment, comme le pharaon, a été construit, gréé, arrimé sur les chantiers de la vieille fossée et appartient à une armature de la ville.
He stopped again, eyes impressively fiery for a portrait, as he stared her down.
I'll continue, but might I get a little something from you in return?
What do you want?
What are you willing to give? If I told you to suck on your fingers and then work them down to your tits, would you?
She had been watching herself get worked over on canvas for weeks now, and she couldn't deny that had begun to affect her libido. And this man, with his voice, telling her what to do? Hermione traced her lips with her pointer finger. When she put it in her mouth, Portrait Draco let out a longing groan.
That's my girl.
Hermione froze. No, this wasn't her husband. His voice and his likeness, and propensity to be a persuading prat, clearly. But not Draco. She hastily summoned a towel, stood fast, and covered her body.
Sorry, this is all wrong, she mumbled, and stepped out of the bath.
It's not wrong at all, called Portrait Draco. You forget, love, that I know you. I know you're practically crawling out of your skin right now with how turned on you are. Just let me help you along.
I don't think so.
Hermione, it's just to make you feel good. There's nothing shameful.
That's Abraxas' secret copy from his portrait. You better return it before he notices and accuses me of dirty muggle thievery again, she tossed over her shoulder and left the bathroom.
After almost succumbing to artistic advances before her staunch refusal, Hermione decided to ignore their vigorous, attention-seeking acts. If they wanted to fuck loudly atop the French Alps, they could have at it. She'd breeze by without comment. She became numb to the shrieked orgasms on horseback, the grunted climaxes in quaint cottage kitchens. She'd ignore them, not give them the attention they so clearly craved, and try to dispel the burning sense of inadequacy. Desensitization had officially set in, but it did nothing to numb the ever-present guilt. A lackluster lover, a failed new bride, a workaholic who neglected her husband. Just for one day, Hermione would like to walk through her home without happening upon a graphic sex scene. Last night, it was professor-student roleplay. The day before, creative cunnilingus on an airborne broom. And now, on her way to the dining room, an intense spanking interlude. Draco sat with his paper, appearing unconcerned with the loud thwacks and pleasured cries drifting in from the hall.
Where did he get a riding crop?
From my great-grandfather's portrait. I wonder how I convinced him to part with it.
Hermione bristled at how Draco referred to his portrait.
They're us, he said, correctly interpreting her sour expression.
They're nothing like us. They're constantly shagging.
Draco raised an eyebrow over the newspaper.
Does it really bother you?
He asked.
No, it just... it feels like a competition.
Draco set the paper aside.
How so?
I can't. I feel like I can't be that woman in the painting. Please don't misunderstand me. I want all those things with you. But I'm...
Oh, good Lord, not the overtired tears. She swiped miserably at her eyes.
I'm so tired all the bloody time. And you're busy too, and I don't want to interrupt your work in the lab. But you walk around our home looking so bloody fit at all hours, and obviously I'd love nothing more than to jump your bones and do any one of those outlandish scenarios our portraits are ever so adept at showing off. But then I get performance anxiety, because how on earth am I supposed to live up to such a standard? And obviously I'm going to get older, and my body's going to change, especially when we start having children. And then you'll still have this pert young version of me prancing around every room, and maybe you'd rather be looking at her instead of me. Never mind while I waste away my best years because I'm trying to get ahead in my career, and I feel like I have no time left over for you and me, and I hate it.
Draco frowned and reached for her hand.
Have you been thinking these horrible thoughts all this time?
She nodded and dried her face.
Let me disabuse you of, well, everything you just said. Not only would I welcome any and all interruptions from you, but I hardly require elaborate seduction routines. Any time you want me, just spread those gorgeous legs.
He leered, and she released a relieved chuckle. He kissed her knuckles.
I also haven't wanted to pressure you. You've got so much on your plate. But God's love, of course I've wanted you. That won't be changing. Ever.
Her word vomit, coupled with his sweet reassurance, dissipated the weight in her chest.
I also should tell you that the other night, I almost... with your portrait, he... I think the two of them eventually want me... or us to join, so to speak, she confessed.
Have you never watched us?
Hermione's cheeks flushed.
It feels like I'm intruding. Or betraying you. Us, somehow.
Draco tugged her into his lap.
I don't see it that way at all.
He traced a finger down the side of her face.
Sometimes they find me alone in the bath. He gripped her hips. And I get to watch myself fuck you. I get to tell myself how to fuck you.
Do you participate?
You mean, have I touched myself while they perform for me?
He asked, then pressed a kiss to her neck, dragging his lips up to her ear.
Yes. It's incredibly hot, love.
A shiver racked through her at the thought, and she squirmed in his lap. She thought about how Draco would look, stroking himself while watching them. He captured her lips, dialing up her arousal tenfold.
I think you'd enjoy it, Draco said, rocking against her. Let's turn you around. Let them see.
Please, darling, begged Portrait Draco. They'd wandered into the frame above the table.
We could learn from each other,
reasoned her nude double, already on all fours. She turned in her husband's lap, hiking up her skirt. Gods, it had been far too long. She'd probably come in about 30 seconds. The portrait stared hungrily, surging Hermione with desire at being openly coveted. Draco's touch slid up her thighs and into her knickers. Hermione's hips automatically jolted forward, eager to find release. Portrait Draco groaned at the sight.
Is she... soaked already?
Draco pulled out glistening fingers, showing them off.
She is.
He licked his fingers clean, then freed his cock.
Show them what you like,
Draco whispered as he filled her. Hermione liked Draco's hands squeezing her breasts as her head lolled back onto his shoulder. She liked setting the pace, fucking herself to delirium. She liked seeing herself face down, arse up, and being admired in return.
He feels so good from behind, panted her portrait. Doesn't he? Yes,
Hermione agreed in a strained whisper.
What should I do to you?
Portrait Draco asked.
Pull her hair, gasped Hermione, bouncing faster. Then fuck her. Fuck me harder.
Good girl, called two Dracos, hurtling two Hermiones over the edge.
ETL Echo. Echoing tales of enemies to lovers.